should I call this show? I think I'll call it Moses Part 2. Has that been taken? No. What show number are we on? 257. 257. Wow. And I've never named the show Moses Part 2. All right, good. We're going to name this Moses Part 2. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Moses, one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. We will look to him if we need to. And we do. We need desperately to look at Moses and the examples given here of how he acted in faith, not seeing, but believing. You know, we have a saying on planet Earth here where I live, seeing is believing. But the faith that God likes, that delights God, says that we believe in spite of not seeing. Believe in spite of not seeing. These people are blessed. Seeing is believing. You see how against the grain we are? Every time you turn around, at every turn, we are different. God asks so much of us. And even this challenge to faith, if I can use that phrase, because the reason I say if I can use it, it's not really a challenge. Faith is a gift of God. It's either given to you or it's not. You know, let's go to that passage real quick. I forgot what the point I was going to make. It was great, too. It was a great, great point. Now I've completely forgotten it, but the result here is that we're going to two passages. I'm going to go to Romans 12:3 and Philippians 1:29. These are my two go-to passages to prove that faith is a gift. It's also a fruit of the Spirit. Love. Here's the fruits. Here are the fruits of the Spirit. There are nine in number. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's number seven, faithfulness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So I can exhort you to be faithful. I can say have more faith, and that's fine. But people think that when you tell somebody something like that, they say, well, how can I do it? Because faith is a gift. And the thing is, I'm just exhorting you relatively. I know that you can't do it. This doesn't presuppose that you have the power to have more faith, because you don't. I can tell you, just have faith, brother. Have faith, sister. And you may think that presupposes you have the ability to conjure up that faith. You don't. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because what these exhortations do, what my exhortation does, and what Paul's exhortations do, are give God a matting or a frame in which to draw a masterpiece. So God is going to use my exhortation, and you are going to think about it for maybe the first time in your life. Wow, have faith. You know, I'll never forget this. I played football in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I was a hustler. I was fast, but I may not have been the best football player, but I'll never forget this one guy. I'll never forget this time. I was lined up for a kickoff. Our team was kicking off, and I was going down the field to try to tackle the guy who got the ball. And this guy on the sideline, I was lined up wide to the right, and I'll never forget, I forget who it was, said, I want you to go down and kill that ball carrier. And nobody had ever quite put it to me quite that way. I mean, the coaches, you know, they tell us what we're supposed to do, but this guy just said, like, in a normal tone, he said, Zender, I want you to go down there and kill the ball carrier. And it like solidified it for me. I said, okay. And I went down, and the guy who caught the kickoff ran, and I freaking went after the guy and I tackled him. And I thought, wow, that was simple. Somebody just told me to do it, that I did it. Nobody ever quite put it like that. The coaches just yelled at us and they screamed and they made us do stupid drills. Oh, I'm supposed to tackle the other guy? Why didn't you just tell me that? This guy said, Zender, go down and tackle the guy that catches the ball. So I'm telling you to have faith. Just believe it in spite of not seeing it. Just believe God. He's trustworthy. He created the universe. He made the animals. He made beavers. Hello? He made beavers. And giraffes and elephants. And trees. And he sent his son to die for you. And you've never seen his son, have you? Have you seen Jesus Christ? No. We have words on a page, and yet we believe. All right, take that and keep running with that ball. I promise I won't tackle you. Keep faithing and believing things you're not seeing. Because who knows? Maybe my exhortation will be a nice little, handy little framework for God to paint a masterpiece on. Romans 12:3. Let's start with verse 1. I'm entreating you then, brethren, by the pities of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice, living, holy, well-pleasing to God, your logical divine service. See, Paul's exhorting people. And not be configured to this eon, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you to be testing what is the will of God, good and well-pleasing and perfect. For I am saying, through the grace which is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to be overweening. Don't overstrain beyond what your disposition must be. If you can't muster the faith, don't. That's what Paul's saying here. I'm telling you, let's be like. I'm exhorting myself to. Let's be like these heroes of faith. But we are to be of a sane disposition, not straining. Don't beat yourself up if you can't work this up. As God parts to each the measure of faith. There it is. Here's the important part. I'm saying through the grace which is given to me, to everyone. I'm saying by the grace given to me, I'm applying that to everyone. Everyone has a measure of grace. To everyone who is among you, don't be overweening. That's a weird concordant word. It just means don't be pressing hard on yourself and making yourself frustrated. Oh, I don't have enough faith. I don't have as much faith as Moses or Abraham or Sarah. And yet here's Zender telling me to have it. I kind of like that. I think I just might do it because Zender told me. That's fine. But realize that if that happens, it's because God parts to each the measure of faith. God parts to each the measure of faith. And Philippians 1:29, I won't turn there because I got to talk to Moses, seeing as how I'm naming this show after him, Moses Part 2, is graciously granted to you, not only to be believing on him, and the word belief is the Hebrew word pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. Pist is actually the root word pist, P-I-S-T in the Greek. Not graciously granted to you, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also. Graciously granted you to be faithing. Belief, faith, same root word, pist. P-I-S-T in the Greek language. So, graciously granted you. Now, having said that, let's look at an example of faith. Let's continue to look at the example of Moses. We know that by faith, Moses, becoming great, disowns the term son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was a good job he had. He had a great gig in Egypt. He gave up a good gig to suffer with the people of God. That's a faith, because you don't know where your next meal's coming from when you're in the wilderness of Midian tending sheep. Well, I guess your livelihood's coming from the sheep, but it's not as sure of a thing as he had in Egypt. So it was an act of faith. Disowned the term son of Pharaoh's daughter, preferring to be maltreated with the people of God than to have a temporary enjoyment of sin. Talked about that yesterday. Deeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Reproach of Christ equals riches. That's hard to see. And we don't see it, so we just have to believe it. Right? This evil that we're experiencing is temporary. And yet the burden of glory will outweigh the evil, outweigh it many, many, many times. You just have to believe it because you don't see it. Deeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked away to the reward. Looked away. By faith, new territory here, verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the fury of the king, for he is staunch, as seeing the invisible. As seeing the invisible, because you don't see the invisible. This is an amazing phrase. The key word is as. He is staunch. Now, for one thing, the king could have become very upset, because really Moses is dissing his daughter. What, my daughter's not good enough for you? Says Pharaoh. And Moses said, I'd rather suffer reproach with my people than to spend another day in the luxury of this palace. I think he probably didn't insult them, but just by him leaving, it insulted them. Your friends are insulted just by the fact that you leave the church. You leave the church, they're insulted. You have good reasons. You're following God. You're following the voice of God, the call of God in your own life. You're hearing new truths that make sense to you that you've always thought were true, and now you're finding out they are. And your friends think you're crazy. And they're offended simply that you're not going, oh, our church isn't good enough for you? Our fellowship isn't good enough for you? I've heard that so many times. Oh, so we're not good enough for you. And I'm sure that people told Jesus Christ that. Oh, one lady, I remember, I was working at Altman Hospital in Canton, Ohio in 1982, and she found out that I had left the Catholic Church, and she said to me, looked me in the eye, pointed a finger, how can you leave the Mother Church? How can you leave the Mother Church? Don't you think Paul got this? How can you leave Judaism? You've arrived. And that's what this lady was thinking. I have arrived. You've arrived when you're in the Catholic Church. Why would you go anywhere else? And surely Pharaoh said, you've arrived at the greatest kingdom on planet Earth, the Egyptian kingdom, my rule. And what? This isn't good enough for you? The temple, the magnificent temple that the disciples pointed out to Jesus, and he said, not one stone will remain upon another, and he goes out into the mountains and on the lake, on the hillsides, and teaches. What, the temple's not good enough for you? This $1 million extravaganza of stone and gold, it's not good enough for you. No, it's not. Because we are those as seen, the invisible, because we have a city whose foundations are not made of stone or gold. We have a city in the heaven, and I'm not talking now about the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven onto the new earth. Listen to this. This may blow your mind. I believe that that city is based even on another city that's above it. I'm talking three realms here. This is just me. We had the earthly Jerusalem. I'm basing this on the fact that when Moses went to the mountain, he built the tabernacle. We talked about this earlier in chapter 7 of Hebrews or something. He built the tabernacle based on the model that was shown him on the mountain. He was shown a model of a tabernacle, and he made his weak little imitation with the curtains. And that tabernacle may have been modeled after a higher tabernacle, a greater tabernacle in the heavens. I'm not sure, but we have a new Jerusalem coming down that doesn't have a temple, granted. But is it possible that that Jerusalem, that city coming down, is a model? It comes down to earth. Is that based on a greater model in the higher celestials? Because we are going to a city. They're going to a city, but we have a city. And it's high above any earthly city, and it's even higher above than this amazing city, the New Jerusalem, that comes down from heaven, settles on the new earth, as we read about in Revelation chapter 21. Talk about seeing the invisible. And by faith, verse 28, Moses has the Passover made and the pouring of blood against the door jams, lest the exterminator of the firstborn may come into contact with them. Angel of the Lord told him the evening before the Passover, or the evening of the Passover, to put the blood on the doorposts. That sounded like a crazy thing to do. But he did not question. Moses didn't question. So it was an act of faith. By faith he did that, poured the blood against the door jams. That's about as crazy as God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son or asking Noah to build an ark. Moses, just slap blood on both sides of your door. Moses said, you should trust me, just do it. It's vitally important that you do it, vitally important, because the death angel went through the entire city, the entire land of Egypt, struck down the firstborn, except for the homes that had the blood. Of course, this is a beautiful type of Jesus Christ, whose blood spares us from death. The blood is on us. It's the blood of Christ. Beautiful type. And Moses did it when it seemed like the most ridiculous thing to do. And he did it, and it was a great act of faith. And the exterminator of the firstborn passed over. those houses of the faithful Israelites. In verse 29, by faith, they crossed the Red Sea as through dry land, attempting which the Egyptians were swallowed up. You say, well, Martin, this is faith by sight. No, it's not. The waters of the Red Sea gathered up. That was amazing, I'll grant you. The faith part was walking through it and trusting that it's not going to collapse on you. You think it's bad walking across? You ever seen those rickety bridges in the jungle movies? Those bridges are swaying as people walk over them. You trust it's going to hold. How would you like to hold? How would you like to trust that an invisible hand against a wall of water on either side of you is going to hold? Try that. Every day of your walk, you're wondering when it's going to crash down. It's not. You trust the invisible hand of God. It was on the waters of that sea. It is on against the adversaries of your life. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. Doesn't mean adversaries are not going to come. It just means when they do, God purposely parts his fingers a little bit to let in some evil and some trouble. But he is in total control of that wall of water. And only what he allows to trickle through will trickle through. And it is only a trickle, as overwhelming as it seems. Some trickles are heavier than others, yes. But you're not going to be overwhelmed. Nothing has overtaken you except what is human. And God is faithful to provide the sequel. He will show you the outcome. He will show you the city. He will show you. He won't show you. He will show you the promise of it. And you have the promise of it. As seeing the invisible, let's look at the promise. And let's trust that God, who has promised, is able to deliver us to it.